Hello and welcome back to Bases Loaded. I'm your host, as always, Eric Ellefson. And on today's episode, we have NFL Week 9 recap, as well as today being the trade deadline, which officially closes in about half an hour. So we have that on this agenda, as well as early NBA season recap, as we are 2 weeks into the season. And then we'll wrap up with the Dodgers winning the World Series last Wednesday night in New York. So, hopping right into NFL Week 9, which started last week with the Jets beating the Texans 21-13. In New Jersey on Halloween night, with Rodgers throwing for 3 touchdown passes, 2 to Garrett Wilson, and his first to Davante Adams as a member of the Jets. We have the Ravens taking care of the Broncos 41-10, the Lions beating the Packers in a rainy Lambeau 24-14, Bills getting a last game-winning field goal to win 30-27. Chargers take care of the Browns 27-10. Panthers beat the Saints 23-22. Bengals beat the Raiders 41-24 on 5 touchdown passes from Joe Burrow. We got the Commanders beating the Giants 27-22. Falcons taking care of the Cowboys 27-21. Titans beating the Patriots 20-17 in overtime. Cardinals beating the Bears 29-9. Eagles surviving the Jaguars 28-23. Rams beating the Seahawks 26-20 in overtime. The Vikings beating the Colts 21-13 on Sunday Night Football. And then last night, the Chiefs stay unbeaten at 8-0, beating the Buccaneers 30-24 in overtime. So, like I said, Thursday Night Football on Halloween, 3 touchdown passes from Rodgers, no pits. I mean, he didn't have much. There wasn't really much going on in the first half for the Jets. I mean, it was 7-0 at halftime, and then I think Rodgers only had like 32, maybe 30 some yards passing. And then, you know, they kind of got it together in the second half. Texans, in their first game without Stephon Diggs, who suffered a torn ACL out for the season last week, Sunday for their game. And then, you know, quite a bad turnaround to go and having to play a game just 3 days later. I mean, yeah, like the trade deadline is today. About a half an hour. I mean, it closes in 20 minutes. But if it's anything like, you know, the baseball trade deadline and basketball, you know, even if it is the time that the trade deadline is over, you still might see some like trades kind of coming in and breaking that have been finalized, you know, like minutes before the deadline, and are just in, like, you know, out into the sports media, and then, you know, being announced that way. So we might still see some. I mean, I don't know if Houston would be able to trade for any receivers. It's pretty much all the, you know, big name receivers that were on like the trade, like the trading block, you know, Adams and Cooper, Hopkins, Johnson, they're all pretty much gone. I mean, I think Mingo is the name. The Panthers just traded another receiver to the Cowboys. I think it's Jonathan Mingo. I think that's how you pronounce it, right? And then you know, that's kind of how it is for names. Like, the big names are kind of gone at this point. So I think like one is on the IR, so I think he should be coming back soon. And then as for the rest of these games, I mean, well, games I saw, so at noon that was Cowboys Falcons, and then Cowboys fan, and then Broncos Ravens. So I was kind of, I was watching both of them, and then as we got, you know, closer, to like third quarter, and like the Ravens kind of started pulling away, and they just turned, switched over to like Cowboys Falcons. And the Falcons won 27-21, like I said. Whoops. Dak Prescott left the game. It was early in the third quarter or something like that with a hamstring. Injury, so he's supposed to, I think, miss a couple weeks or multiple weeks at least. We'll see who. Cooper Rush came in and replaced him in the game, so we'll see if that's who the Cowboys want to start. I'm in week 10. Let's see, who do they play? Play the Eagles in Dallas, and the Cowboys are now 3-5. Eagles sits into, I think, now a half game. Yeah, half game out of first place on the Commanders, who just traded for Marshawn Lattimore. Yeah, from the Saints, for quite a bit of a haul. On the Saints' hand, it was like a third round, fourth round, and a sixth round pick in next year's draft. I know that was someone like my Chiefs were kind of in talks of getting or looking at for like cornerback help, but to send that kind of draft pick, I mean, that's fine. You know, they can have that. For sure. And then we got the afternoon game I watched. I mean, it was Lions-Packers. That was the game that was on. So it was, like I said, pretty rainy. And apparently I didn't know, but it was the Lions' first outdoor game of the season. So, wins. They beat the Packers. Now they have, does that make it a 1.5 game lead over them for the division? The Vikings won as well. We'll get to that game later. But yeah, it was rainy, so like there wasn't a whole lot of passing. Goff threw for 22 passes. Love attempted 39. They weren't really like airing it out due to the weather. I mean, there was a lot of running. Detroit had 32 rushing attempts. Green Bay 23 for 138 yards, and then the Lions had 124. And Love threw like a pit sits right before halftime to Kirby Joseph. To make it 17-3 at halftime. And then we got a little late. Then they jumped out to a 24-3 lead early in the third quarter. Jahmyr Gibbs, 15-yard rushing touchdown. It was pretty much, they scored another touchdown and a 2-point conversion and a field goal as well, but it was kind of garbage time at that point. It was over, so, kind of got it as they could. Um, So yeah, they're really ahead. I would think that's a game and a half lead. And then the Vikings won against the Colts, who announced last week they were benching top five pick Anthony Richardson from last year's draft and starting Joe Flacco. And Vikings won 21-13. Shout out to the Lions kicker for missing some field goals that allowed me to win my fantasy game this week. I appreciate that. But Minnesota still kind of been taking care of business. I mean, I don't think they're as good as their 6-2 record shows. They've gotten pretty lucky, but I mean, that also is a kind of thing with sports. Like sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. So, you know, moved to 6-2, half game lead over the Packers. And then the Bears lost to the Cardinals, so they're sitting at 500. Let's see, playoff. We would have. Packers would still be in. And then we would have the Bears, Rams, and Niners all at 4-4 looking on the outside. Who the Rams did win. The Niners had a bye. Yeah, they had a bye. I thought it was this week, but I'm like, no, it was last week, because Coach Shanahan said that Christian McCaffrey is going to start practicing this week with the intent of coming back and playing this weekend, so that'll give them a boost offensively, as, like, you know, they don't have Brandon Ayuk anymore, torn ACL and MCL, I believe. And then the Rams, you know, are healthy on offense, getting Cooper Kupp and then Puka Nacua back, who got ejected early in the second, maybe it wasn't early, but it was in the second quarter. So, you know, and I picked him up in fantasy and played him. I was like, okay, good. Like, because I was doing so bad where I had, like, first dibs on the waiver order or waiver wire. And so I picked him up. And then, yeah, had, like, I think a catch. And then in the second quarter, got ejected. So, but yeah, wrapping out the rest of the NFC, playoff standings as we sit halfway through the schedule, having just completed week 9, you know, there's 18 weeks in the schedule now, but 17 games, obviously, because you have a bye week. So we have Detroit in first place at 7-1, with a half game lead over Washington at 7-2. Atlanta's at 6-3. Arizona's at 5-4. So those are your division leaders. And then the Vikings and Eagles at 6-2, and the Packers at 6-3. AFC, we have the Chiefs with a, that'd be a 3-game, maybe 2.5 game lead over Buffalo at 7-2. Then we have Pittsburgh at 6-2. Houston and Baltimore at 6-3. The Chargers at 5-3. Then the Broncos with that 7th seed at 5-4. With the Colts and Bengals at 4-5. And then, so 9-10 in the conference. And then at 10th is the Jets at 3-6. So yeah, like I said, we're halfway through season. We have trade deadline wrap. Officially closes in 10 minutes. See what else we got. I want to see. Okay, nothing. I mean, they're doing like the same where it's doing like, just give me the news. I don't. That's not what I want. So, alright, we'll just do it this way. With, like I mentioned, the Commanders traded. Accepted a trade with the Saints for Marshawn Lattimore. The Steelers are acquiring wide receiver Mike Williams from the Jets, and then pass rusher Preston Smith from the Packers. Mike Williams in exchange for a 2025 fifth round pick. And then Packers, Preston Smith for a seventh round pick. Da-da-da-da. Looks like that's it. Those were like today. I talked about Jonathan Mingo going to the Cowboys. I mean, do need another receiver to go with along with CeeDee Lamb. But with like no, you know, Dak Prescott for at least a couple weeks, we'll see if he gets put on the IR. So that's a minimum of 4 weeks right there. You know, we'll see how that goes. I don't know, it just seems like the NFL, there isn't a whole lot of like big trades that happen the day of the trade deadline, as it kind of like happens throughout and like the weeks leading up type of thing. So we'll kind of keep that focused on that. If there's any updates by the time, you know, the episode is over, I'll like kind of, you know, break the news. But with about less than 10 minutes left, I kind of doubt it. We'll see. So going into, and like a lot of the trades that have happened, you know, we've talked about in previous weeks because they've happened, you know, in like the 2 or 3 weeks before the trade deadline. So we got that. And then, so, you know, like I said, yeah, we've already kind of talked about it. And then other NFL games. I did watch all the afternoon games. Because I guess Sunday ticket, I don't know, maybe because it was halfway through the season or something like that. Had a deal on Sunday ticket, so I got that and was able to watch Bears, Cardinals, Jaguars, Eagles, Rams, Seahawks, and then Packers, Lions. So I had the like game broadcast from Packers Lions, and then the other games on screen, kind of watching them. Like Cardinals Bears wasn't that competitive. Eagles Jaguars, it's not as close as like the 28-23 score looks like, because they had like, it was like 22-0, and then they had like, the Eagles had like some push, you know, for first downs that they missed, goal line sneaks type of stuff, failed 2-point conversions. You know, they let the Jaguars back in 22-16. Then they got another touchdown, 28. So they definitely let them hang around more than they should have. And then the Rams and Seahawks, kind of a good back and forth. Then Sunday night, Vikings, you know, took care of business. Darnold almost 290 yards passing, 3 touchdowns with 2 interceptions. Justin Jefferson, 7 catches for 137 yards. Sam Darnold also lost a fumble. And then Minnesota did an interception. So, and they played pretty well. Not a whole lot. You know, Colts starting a veteran quarterback. You know, I guess they believe best to give them their chances at this point. Kind of, while, you know, Richardson, I guess, kind of sits on the bench and develops and stuff like that. So, and then last night, Chiefs remain unbeaten. I would say pretty close to vintage Mahomes, you know, 291 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, added 9 yards rushing, two of those touchdowns to new Chief DeAndre Hopkins, who finished with 8 catches for 86 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kelce had 14 catches for 100 yards. He also lost a fumble. And then Kareem Hunt finished with 27 carries for 106 yards and 1 touchdown. Most of that coming in like the second half and overtime. He had the game-winning touchdown in overtime. And then Baker Mayfield, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 20 yards rushing, touchdown passes to tight end Cade Otton, who led the Buccaneers with receptions and yards, 8 receptions, 77 yards, a touchdown, and the other touchdown to Ryan Miller. Buccaneers they got some pretty good pressure on Mahomes all night. Had 4 sacks. Chiefs got some pressure. Finished with 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss. So then still undefeated, the only undefeated team remaining. And then we'll go into week 10. Begins Thursday with Bengals at the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. And we also had the Giants and Panthers in Germany, in Munich, Sunday at 8:30 a.m. on NFL Network. Some games to look out for. Steelers Commanders at 6-2. Steelers at 6-2 against the 7-2 Commanders. We got 49ers at Buccaneers. Eagles, Cowboys, be interesting. Lions, Texans on Sunday Night Football. And then we have Dolphins, Rams on Monday Night Football. So yeah, kind of wraps up the NFL for this week 9. Oh, I didn't mention it at the beginning, but we'll talked a little bit college football last week. Big game, number 4 Ohio State beating number 3 Penn State 20-13. Penn State jumped to like a 10-0 lead early. They had a pit six and then only mustered a field goal after that for the rest of the game. We had that being a top 5 matchup, and the only other like top 25 matchup was number 18 Pitt against number 20 SMU, which SMU won 48-25. So that kind of is like not a whole lot of excitement in week 10 for college football. We have week 11. Oh, and then I should say tonight is the first week of the college football playoff ranking, so we'll officially know we're like, as of now, week 1, who like the 12 teams would be in the updated 12-team college football playoff. So that'll be something to talk about next week. As for this week in NFL college football, we have a top 25 matchup with number 2 Georgia at number 16 Ole Miss. And then at night, or wins that game, that is at 2:30 on ABC/ESPN+. And then the night game on ABC/ESPN+ is number 11 Alabama at number 14 LSU. And both of them are 6-2. And then Georgia 7-1 against number 7 against 7-2 Ole Miss. So pretty exciting there. We're going to NBA a little bit, just kind of early season recap, like I said. As we're like 2 weeks in now, so I mean teams have played what's like anywhere from 7 to 9 games as we stand, and then I think next week they do their in-season NBA tournament again, So that'll check or get started. I think it's next week. It should be. Let me check. Yeah, next Tuesday. NBA Cup. I guess that's what we're calling it. So, no games tonight, as it's election day, and the NBA's never had like Tuesday night games on election day for like the past couple of years now. And then, you know, we get bats started tomorrow night with pretty much a full slate of games. ESPN has Wednesday night basketball with the 6-1 Warriors at the 7-1 Celtics at 6:30. And then at 9, it is the 76ers, who are 1-5 against the 3-4 LA Clippers. So, and then where we stand in standings, Eastern Conference, we kind of have like 2 at the top, and everyone else is kind of a little group from there. We have Cleveland Cavaliers at 8-0, and Boston, the defending champs, at 7-1, one game back, and then everyone. And then the rest of the teams are like from third place, the Brooklyn Nets at 4-4, to the 1-6 Milwaukee Bucks, separated by only 2.5 games. And then Boston has a 3-game lead over Brooklyn. So, you know, kind of surprises is like that Cleveland is started off 8-0. And that teams like, I mean, Boston, that's not surprising, the defending champs, pretty much their entire roster came back for the season. And then, you know, with Philly at 1-5, I don't know if Embiid's played. And then Paul George, who was like their big, pretty much their big offseason acquisition, who they, I think, traded for, or no. No, I think they signed free agency. Has played a couple games now, I believe. And then Milwaukee, who beat Philly opening night in Philadelphia, and then have lost 6 straight since. So it's kind of like, what's up with that? I think it's pretty much just like that. The roster of the Bucks is just a lot older than most in the league. You know, the addition of Damian Lillard helps with like their offensive firepower, but you know, does not help with their like defensive perimeter on the perimeter. So I think that definitely helped, took away from that. So you know, Milwaukee does finish pretty bad and miss the playoffs. You know, we'll see if maybe like Giannis, I don't know if he has an opt out of his contract. So he signed a max extension in before the 2021 season. So we'll see. I don't know if he has any opt-out clauses after, you know, after a certain amount of years type of thing. So, you know, or like he wants to be traded, which would be kind of a major blow to Milwaukee because you'd be stuck with a pretty old roster. Even Damian Lillard, I think, is like 33 or 34. So, and then Western Conference, we have the other two remaining unbeaten teams with Oklahoma City at 7-0, and then we have Phoenix and Golden State both at 6-1. Obviously, one game back. We have Houston Rockets, the Lakers, Mavericks, Timberwolves, Nuggets, Kings, all tied at 4-3. 3 games back. Memphis has that last play-in tournament spot at 4-4. And then we have everyone else from that last play-in spot to the last place, 1-6 Utah Jazz, is 2.5 game difference. So a lot of difference. I mean, let's see. I mean, San Antonio, I expect to maybe play in for, they should be able to get better and kind of play for like a play-in spot. New Orleans, the Clippers, I mean, Portland and Utah are going to be pretty bad. So, we'll kind of see how that goes. You know, it's kind of early. I said, like, yeah, we've only played like about 9 games each, you know. Some teams, it's like most of the Eastern Conference, where it's like you know, Boston, who you expect. Cleveland, I mean, good, but not like, didn't think they'd be undefeated. You know, good. And then Brooklyn, 4-4, that's kind of surprising a little bit. Though, I mean, because of them, like, you know, unloading, you know, that big three that they had a couple years ago with, like, Durant and Harden and Kyrie, you know, they got a lot of, like, you know, first-round and second-round picks that they can use to shape their roster, so it's not that surprising. And then, you know, they're just going to be, like, I mean, it's early, so, like, you know, we'll kind of keep checking in, you know, obviously every week kind of seeing there's, like, key games I watch and stuff like that, you know, kind of update with the standings and all that as we go forward. Especially next week with the NBA Cup kicking off. So, and then last night we also had college basketball starting with a lot of, like, top 25 teams playing. We did have some upsets. UCF being 13th ranked Texas A&M 64-61. We had Ohio State beating number 19 Texas 80-72. And then the big matchup of the, you know, opening night, top 10 matchup, number 8 Baylor against number 6 Gonzaga, and Gonzaga just crushed Baylor 101-63. So, not much what probably people were expecting from that, especially a top 10 matchup on opening night, but ho, boy. And, I mean, Wisconsin's not ranked, but we won, took care of business. And then tonight, doesn't look like any, nope, top 25 games or teams playing tonight. Tomorrow we have some. And then Friday we have another top 10 matchup. Hopefully it goes better this time, with number 9 North Carolina taking on number 1 Kansas, and that is at 6 p.m. on ESPN2. And then we got some top 25 matchups on Saturday, with number 8 Baylor looking to bounce back against number 16 Arkansas, 6:30 on ESPNU. And then after that, at 8:30, we have number 11 Auburn at number 4 Houston. So, I mean, same with, like, college football. We're at that point where it's, like, early college basketball, so it's going to be a lot of preseason, you know, it's going to be a lot of non-conference, you know, some top 25 teams playing teams that are just, you know, not very good, with, like, you know, some top 25 matchups, like, sprinkled in, like, every week type of thing. And then also depends, like, you know, we get kind of closer to, like, you know, once we get, like, a couple of weeks from now, when we get to, like, Thanksgiving-ish, around that time when we have, like, some kind of holiday tournaments, or, like, you know, that's kind of a big draw, like, the holiday tournaments, where we get some, like, top 25 preseason-ranked teams to play each other, you know, at the Maui Invitational or Battle for Atlantis and stuff like that. So, and as the season goes on, we have teams becoming ranked, and then the rankings change. You know, we'll have some maybe that weren't at the beginning of the season, like, top 25 matchups, but that will become as the rankings change and stuff like that. So, and then to wrap it up, we'll go to baseball, which, like I said, officially ended last Wednesday night with the Dodgers beating the Yankees in Game 5 to win the World Series 4-1. Who, I mean, watching that game to begin with, I thought, like, you know, we were going to go back to L.A. as the Yankees got off to a 5-0 lead in the first couple innings, and then blew that lead by allowing 5 runs in the 5th off some errors. And then I think the Dodgers got the lead again, or the Yankees got the lead. Yeah. Yankees took the lead again in the bottom of the sixth. And then Dodgers scored two in the top of the eighth. And then they brought in Walker Buehler in the bottom of the ninth and closed it out with the save. And the Dodgers win their second World Series in the last 5 years. I think this kind of cements a more of a legitimate World Series title than back in 2020, when it was like the COVID pandemic season where they only played 60 games. As like, you know, playing 60 games, like, you know, you're going to have more of a, not kind of like the thing of like a regular season where it's 162 and like, you know, maybe, you know, some of those Dodgers players, you know, get injured and miss a good portion of the season, and then, you know, they're not able to, like, you know, sustain that over the course of a full season. So there's that. And then, yeah, I mean, that's kind of who, I mean, the Dodgers are kind of who I thought was going to win. I didn't really expect in 5 games. I mean, they almost swept them. But the Yankees just took care of business and, like, outslugged them in game 4, which I think was the game the Dodgers used a bullpen. Which, I mean, you would like to, like, you know, sweep the World Series, because that's kind of cool. But, I mean, you know, you do have, like, a game to play with. So, you know, try and use some of your bullpen arms, the ones that are not your, like, high-leverage ones. And then save your ones for, like, game, you know, 5. So, they win. Freddie Freeman wins MVP, who had a home run in 4 straight World Series games, which I think was a record. Almost had one in game 5, but like just missed it by like a couple of feet. And then, you know, that's kind of where we sat. Free agency officially kicked off last night at like 5 p.m. Eastern time. Nothing really major has happened. Free agency, I think over the weekend, the Braves traded Jorge Soler to the Angels for a pitcher. We had Garrett Cole, I think opted out of his contract and reworked it to stay with the Dodgers or Yankees on the rest of his contract for the remaining 4 years, I believe. We had Cody Bellinger opting into his 2025 option with the Cubs. And that's basically been it. Nothing really major is going to happen. MLB playoff or, you know, free agency wise or anything like that until, you know, we get probably closer to, like, the winter meetings, which are about a month away. So, that's kind of how it goes. And, you know, we're not going to get anything crazy happening. Because, I mean, like, the big, like, free agent is, like, Juan Soto. So, kind of see where he goes. You know, we'll see if the Yankees resign him. I'm sure they do want to sign him. So we'll kind of see how that goes. But yeah, it's up until then, you know, not a whole lot going to be happening baseball wise. You know, with the World Series being over last Wednesday, they had the parade Friday. And to them, it did go on. The World Series did keep going on. Game 7 would have been last Saturday, so yesterday probably would have been the parade type of thing. So, and then free agency might have kicked off like Wednesday or Thursday, so you know, like I said, I don't expect anything happening for like major happening for like a month. I mean, I don't know if Juan Soto will, if he signs with a team before New Year's, I'd be very surprised. Because it just doesn't seem like big free agent signs like that happen before the new year. But, you know, we'll see, you know, if anything happens in the weeks to come before the winter meeting. Other than that, that's when I kind of think, you know, free agency signings and trades will start to, you know, ramp up. So that ends another episode of Bases Loaded. Thanks for listening, and as always, and have a good week.